If I'm honest, the homemaking part of motherhood has always been hard for me. You know, I'm not naturally organized. I'm not the most experienced in the kitchen. I don't bake every day, although I wish I did. And I know that there's a bit of a homemaker revolution happening on social media right now. And while that's really, really amazing and it's really inspiring to me, it can also make you feel like there's only one way to be a homemaker. So today I want to share with you four things that God has been teaching me about homemaking. Hey mama, I'm Jenna, and you're listening to the Joy-Filled Podcast. I'm here to help stay-at-home moms thrive by equipping you with tools to help you acknowledge and embrace your season and encourage you to bring joy back into your motherhood. You'll walk away with everything you need to truly experience the fullness of joy in this beautiful season of raising babies at home. So reheat or refill wherever you're at in your day, your coffee, and let's live joy-filled together. So, homemaking. Let's talk about it. But before we get into it, I want to let you know that I have a really fun announcement at the end of this episode. So please stick around till the end because I want you to hear this. So, homemaking. Let's talk about it. I have only recently in the past year or so begun to like cook more from scratch and you know, I've really been on a journey and a mission kind of to enjoy my kitchen more and just enjoy these parts of homemaking that can feel really mundane and can feel really like just boring. And honestly, for me, homemaking was a source of insecurity and it still is at times. You know, you see the homemaking aesthetic, right, of like sourdough and pretty dresses. And I love those things and I love wearing pretty dresses. But I found myself feeling like that was the only way to be a homemaker. Like if I didn't look like that, if I didn't cook meals like that, if my kitchen didn't look like that, if I, you know, didn't do this or that or didn't look like her or her, then I'm not a homemaker. I'm not really a homemaker, you know, or I can't really speak to homemaking because, you know, I haven't mastered how to bake sourdough from scratch or, you know, I don't mop my floor every day. So I must not be able to speak into homemaking or be able to qualify myself as a homemaker. And God has really been working on my heart and refining me in this area. And I feel like I've kind of come out on the other side of a lot of these struggles that I was feeling. And so I thought I would just come on today and talk about it because I feel like I say this all the time, but if there's one thing I've learned, it's that if I'm feeling something or going through something or struggling with something, whether it's a comparison or an insecurity or just, you know, feeling like I'm falling short, I'm definitely not the only one. You're never the only one in your insecurity, in your comparison. The enemy really wants to make you feel like you're the only one, but I can promise you, if there's anything I've learned, it's that you're not the only one. And so I want to just share with you some things that God has kind of just placed on my heart and reminded me of that have been really freeing for me in this kind of homemaker era on social media. And maybe it's not everywhere, but I feel like my algorithm, all I see is like these beautiful homemakers, these beautiful homes. And like I said, it was a source of insecurity for a long time. So I want to share some things, specifically four things, although there's a lot more that I've learned and that God is still teaching me. So maybe I'll come back and share more later, but just four things that you can walk away with that I hope will be freeing for you as well. So, number one, the first thing that I want to share with you that God has shared with me is that homemaking is not an aesthetic, it's a ministry. It really doesn't matter what it looks like. And there's not a checklist that makes you a homemaker or not. If you have been charged with the care of a home, you are a homemaker, right? And it's not, I did an episode about this last year around this time about the difference between homemaking and housekeeping. And homemaking is so much more than housekeeping. It's so much more than cleaning and keeping up on laundry. Like, for a long time, that's what I thought homemaking was. Homemaking is making meals, cooking food, cleaning the house, you know, taking care of the laundry, tending to those things, and that's all that it is. But it's not an aesthetic, and it's not a checklist of things. It's a ministry, it's a calling, and it's tending to the environment and the culture of the home way more than it is tending to the physical walls and floors and things in the home. A homemaker cares way more about the heart of her home and about the peace in her home and the environment of her home and the culture of her home, the attitudes and the behaviors in her home. So that's one thing that God reminded me of in my struggle with kind of feeling insecure and comparing a lot, is that homemaking, it doesn't matter. God doesn't care what it looks like for you. God doesn't care if you're homemaking in, you know, leggings and a workout tank, or if you're homemaking in sweats or whatever. It's not an aesthetic. Homemaking is not frilly dresses and pretty aprons and fresh sourdough. Homemaking is tending to your home, tending to not just the physical parts of your home, but the environment of your home, making your home a place that is a safe haven for your family, that is a place where they can come back to, where they can feel like it's a soft place to land. That is what homemaking is. So that's the first thing, that homemaking is not an aesthetic, it's a ministry. The second thing I've learned, and this kind of goes hand in hand, is that your ministry is where your feet are. This is something that I heard someone say, and it's really just stuck with me. And it goes along with remembering that homemaking is a ministry. And if homemaking is a ministry, and my ministry is where my feet are, and what I mean by this is, if God called you there, whatever there is for you, you know, maybe you're comparing yourself to somebody with a bigger home, or to somebody who's working, or to somebody with more kids or less kids or different aged kids. Like, if God called you there, you would be there, right? And when we think about it that way, it kind of checks us and makes us go, okay, if God called me there, I would be there. If God called me to working full-time, I would be working full-time. But I'm here. And so God must have called me here. Because there are no accidents. There are no coincidences. There are no, you know, made the wrong turn and I ended up in the wrong place in life. Like, no, God uses it all. Even when we do, you know, do something out of alignment from Him and from His will, like, He is faithful to realign us, and He's faithful to turn everything around for the good of those who serve Him and who love Him. And so if you're here in your home, if that's where your feet are, then that's the ministry He's called you to in this season. Now, is it the only ministry? Maybe not. But it's a ministry that He's called you to. Ministry is not church, working at a church, or, you know, working for a nonprofit or something like that. Ministry, we're all called to ministry. I grew up in church, and you would hear people say, like, oh, I feel called to ministry. And what they meant was, I feel called to, like, vocational, like, working for a church or working in that world. And it just always bugged me, because I always just felt like, aren't we all? Like, aren't we all called to ministry, right? And so let's remember that when we compare and when we take our eyes off of where God has us now, we miss so much of the goodness and the mercy and the blessing that He's trying to show us, because He is faithful in this season too. And He is working in this season too. This is not a wasted season of your life. This is not a season where you just have to get by until you can get to the next season. No, this is a season of ministry. This is a season of sowing, maybe more intensely than you will ever again in your life. You know, Jesus's last call to the disciples was to go and tell the good news. And you are making disciples in your home every day. It's never been easier to go and tell, to make disciples, then right now, you are called here to your family, to your children. Your ministry is right here in your home. Your ministry is at that sink full of dishes. Your ministry is at that dinner table with those kids. Your ministry is where your feet are. The third thing that I'm learning is that it pleases our Father when we steward our home well. One thing that I think I talked about this, I can't remember if I talked about this on a podcast episode or if I talked about this on Instagram stories, but one thing that I kind of lean towards is, you know, a lot of people lean towards like hustling too hard and working too hard, but my personality type, I actually lean towards the opposite, and I have really like lazy tendencies, and I lean toward like resting way too much and kind of foregoing hard work. And so that's something that God has really been refining me in and just calling me higher, basically. And one thing that he's taught me is that it pleases him when I steward my home well. So while, you know, homemaking is not just housekeeping, we also are called to steward the things that he's placed in our hands and work heartily as unto the Lord. And that is not, the scripture about work that we read is not just about working at a job. It's the whatever work has been placed in our hands. And let me remind you, this is work. This is our work. Just because you're not getting paid doesn't mean it's not work. And so it pleases him when we steward our homes well. We are called as Christians to work hard and to tend to what he's given us, to what he's placed in our hands. And so when we steward our homes, when we take care of them, when we, you know, are faithful in the little things and faithful in the unseen things, it can feel monotonous and it can feel, you know, mundane and it can feel boring and it can feel worthless even to, you know, all the little things that you do all day, all the little things that you clean, all the little things that you pick up, all the socks and the, you know, inside out pants that you pick up from everywhere. How do they get everywhere? Like, why are we, I don't know, maybe it's just my kids, but I'm picking up clothes from the entire house. Like, why can't we just change in our bedroom? Why do we have to change in the living room? Okay, anyways, I digress. When you are faithful, when you spend your day being faithful in the little things and being faithful in the unseen things, it pleases your Father. It pleases your Father in heaven who is looking down on you, saying, "That's my girl, being faithful where she is. That's my girl, loving the home and the family that I gave her. That's my daughter. Look at her. She's so faithful." And I want it to be said about me, and I want it to be said about you, that we were found faithful in whatever he placed in our hands, right? So let's steward our homes well. And the last thing that God has reminded me of, and this is how, this is the kicker, and this is really how we can do all of this. You know, we can be faithful homemakers, and we can see it as a ministry, and we can steward our homes well, both in the housekeeping tasks and in the homemaking ministry. This is how we can do it all, is remembering that the joy is not in the tasks that we do, but in being obedient to the calling in this season. I think about it often that, you know, a CEO of a company probably doesn't enjoy all of the little day-to-day tasks that he or she has to do. You know, they probably don't enjoy having to have hard meetings with people or having to, you know, make hard decisions. Like, there's a lot on their plate. There's a lot weighing on them. And I'm sure they come home exhausted. But they still love and feel called and feel purpose in being the CEO. So why is it that we can't experience the same thing? Why is there this culture surrounding motherhood that it's, you know, there's this disdain towards all of our tasks? When, I mean, if you ask most people in their job, there are probably a lot of tasks that they don't enjoy, but they've figured out that the joy isn't in the tasks anyways. It's in where they are. It's in the full picture, the big picture, So why don't we do the same thing and we take a step back and remember that as mothers, as homemakers, our joy is not in the tasks, but in being obedient to the calling in this season, to be faithful, to minister to the children that we've been given, to care and tend to the home that has been placed in our hands. The joy isn't in the tasks. It's in being obedient. It's in pleasing our Father by being faithful in the unseen things. And, you know, one scripture that my kids and I have been memorizing lately, and we actually have a little song that we sing, but it's Galatians 6:9, and it's, you know, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. And the same is true for you in your home. The same is true for you in your homemaking. Do not grow weary in doing good. At the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing. You can't see your harvest now with the little kids at home that you have. You can't see them as adults who love Jesus, as adults who are successful in all the ways that are important. You can't see that yet. We can't see our harvest. We can't see that. But we can hold on tight to the promise that our harvest is coming. It might not be here. This is a season of sowing. This is not our season of harvest, but it is our season of sowing, and we can be faithful in that. Amen. I hope that this helps you. If you've been struggling like me, comparing yourself to different homemakers or the homemaking aesthetic or, you know, people on social media, I hope that this helps you just realign your heart and remember what is important. Remember what God says about homemaking and about motherhood. You are so called. I know that you are faithful. I know that it's hard, but there is purpose here and there is joy here. Hey, before I pray for you, I want to let you know something fun. I told you at the beginning that I had something fun to share with you, and so here we are. Are you ready? I cannot wait to tell you this. So, last year, I created and launched a PDF guide called The Stay-at-Home Mom's Guide to Thrive, and it's a guide created to help you move from overwhelmed and stressed out to joy-filled and thriving in your home, your motherhood, and in yourself, just as who you are. And so many of you have gone through the guide and you've been able to learn and implement both really practical systems and routines in your home and also mindset shifts and perspective changes surrounding this season of motherhood. And you know, I released it in the fall of last year for a reason, because fall is usually busy season, it's back to school season, and it's easy to get overwhelmed during the season. And so I thought, hey, here's some things I've learned. Let's get you on the right foot. Let's get you on the right foot forward for fall. And so recently, I was revisiting the guide, and I realized that this is so not just for stay-at-home moms. You know, I called it the Stay-at-Home Mom's Guide to Thrive. But this is for anyone who is responsible for a home and a family. Whether you are working or staying home, you are a homemaker. You are in charge of a home. And as mothers, we are the gatekeepers, and we decide what comes and goes in our homes. And that includes the culture of your home. That includes, you know, the environment, what we just talked about. Homemaking is so much more than just, you know, taking care of the physical aspects of your home. And what I've learned is that everything truly does stem from us. If we're overwhelmed, if we're stressed out, our home environment will not be the peaceful and joy-filled place we want it to be. So, with all that being said, I am super excited to announce the re-release of the Stay-at-Home Mom's Guide to Thrive under its new name, Cultivating a Joy-Filled Home. It's the same guide, it's the same content, but it's under a name that I hope will speak to more people, reach more people, and feel more like, yep, that is for me. Because truly, if you want a joy-filled home, this guide is for you. Whether you're a stay-at-home mom, whether you're a working mom, or whether you're somewhere in the middle, like most of us are, right? This guide is for you. It's filled with mindset training and practices to help you see motherhood and homemaking the way God sees it. There's biblical teaching and encouragement. There's also really practical tools that you can implement in your home right away to help you see positive changes and work towards that joy-filled and peaceful home that you desire. It's the perfect combination of mindset training and practical tools to help you ditch the overwhelm, leave behind burnout, and learn to thrive even in the messy mundane of motherhood. Cultivating a Joy-Filled Home has over 30 pages of me basically just holding your hand through this process. I created it in a way that I really love to consume things like this. And so what it does is it gives you actionable steps right away. So the pages alternate from teaching and learning to, and then it goes straight into a workbook style implementation page that gives you the opportunity to reflect and apply what you just learned. But that is not all. When you grab Cultivating a Joy-Filled Home, you also get, which this may be my favorite thing about this, you get a free 5-day devotional called Joy-Filled Motherhood that I wrote, and you get it sent to your inbox, along with some fun phone wallpapers that I created just for you. And because I want this to be so accessible to you, you get the guide and the freebies for $17. That's it. So if homemaking is a struggle for you like it was for me, if this episode resonated with you and you want to dive in deeper to some of these things, if you recognize that you need help actually believing that this season is purposeful, or if you just can't seem to stay on top of all the demands of caring for your home and you need some practical systems to help you, this guide is for you 1,000%. I made it for you. I created it by looking at the questions that I was receiving, looking at the things that people were commenting on that you were asking me, and I put it all together in one really easy guide that will help you cultivate a joy-filled home. So you can head to jennagriffith.co/joyfilledhome to learn more and grab the guide for yourself. Let this investment in yourself be your first step toward a peaceful and joyful fall. No more comparison, no more insecurity, no more overwhelm. Like, we can leave that behind. We can step into a peaceful home, a joyful home. Sometimes you just need some help, right? Sometimes you just need some help getting started. So head to jennagriffith.co/joyfilledhome to grab your guide. And I cannot wait to hear how it helps you. Okay, now I want to pray for you real quick before we go. God, I thank you for my sister. I pray that you would be with her in her homemaking. You would be with her in her home. And I pray that you would just remind her of the purpose that she has in this season. You would help her be faithful in the little things and the unseen things, that she would stop trying to find validation from people noticing or from, you know, people knowing how much work that she does, that she would rest in the fact that you know, you see it all, and you see her faithfulness. God, I pray that she wouldn't grow weary in doing good, in doing what you've called her to do, but that she would continue to work hard and knowing that in the right time, her harvest of blessing is coming. I pray that you would strengthen her, refresh her, and Lord, if this guide, if cultivating a joy-filled home is right for her, Lord, I pray that you would give her courage to say yes, to just take this step, make this small investment, and help her use these tools that are inside this guide, use this encouragement, use this training, and not just let it collect dust in her downloads, but actually use it and implement it so that her home can be the home that she desires it to be, the home that you want it to be. Lord, I thank you for her. I pray that you would bless her, and I pray that you would just be with her as she, you know, heads into fall and back to school and all the things. Lord, I pray that you would just give her the capacity to handle all the things and to do it all with joy. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, don't forget to head to jennagriffith.co/joyfilledhome to learn more and see if cultivating a joy-filled home is right for you. I'm so excited to re-release this to you, and yeah, I can't wait to hear how much you love it. So I'll see you next week. If you found value in today's episode, the best way to thank me is by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a written review. This helps me stay encouraged, but it also pushes this podcast out to more mamas that desperately need to hear about the joy and purpose that is readily available to them. So thank you in advance for being a part of this community and helping me get this message out to as many people as possible. You mean so much to me, and I can't wait to chat with you next week.